It's time for Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiterman of Crystal Creek. If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.
Ryan, this is probably the toughest, most challenging question we've ever had in the mailbag, and it's probably the most important one. It's the paycheck the dairy farmer gets for his milk. So the big question this week, Ryan, what is the milk pricing system and how does it work?
Well, so I have operated in the dairy industry as a dairy veterinarian for the last 15 years and have never understood how milk pricing works. In talking to many of my dairy producer clients, I have also found out that I think within the dairy industry, it doesn't matter if you're a producer, a veterinarian, you're a consultant within the industry, it just seems like nobody really can answer how milk is priced. And so this has kind of become my own personal pet project to learn as much as I can about milk pricing. And I guess before we get started, I just want to go on the record as saying, as far as my education on this topic, I am very much at the kindergarten level. So I'm not an expert on this, and I'm just learning, and I find some of the stuff I learn fascinating. So I just thought I would share it with your listeners. Let's just start with a little history lesson, okay? So I'm going to take you back to 1937. That was the first time that Congress took an action and gave the government authority to regulate the handling of milk in the United States. They sought to establish a minimum milk price that milk buyers pay the farmer. It has nothing to do with retail prices of milk or cheese or butter on the shelves to the end consumer. It has everything to do with the relationship between the milk handler and the dairy farmer. I think it's fair to say that largely little has changed from 1937 up until roughly 2000. In 2000, what we now know as the Federal Milk Marketing Order was revamped, and they changed the way that the pricing calculations are done. Okay, so the first thing to understand, there are 11 different regions that constitute these federal milk marketing orders. Okay, so I live in Wisconsin, and we are in the upper Midwest federal order. Okay, and there's four classes. Class one is for fluid milk for drinking, and then you can essentially think of classes 2, 3, and 4 for manufacturing. Class one can only be grade A milk. Classes 2, 3, and 4 can be grade A or grade B milk for manufacturing. Class 2 is milk used to make soft products like cottage cheeses and yogurts. Class 3 is defined as milk used to manufacture things like hard cheeses. And class 4 is milk used to make butter. If you look at milk pricing, class 1 is always higher than the other classes. And the question is why? Well, historically, they were producing grade B milk, which did not meet the standard to be sold as class 1 drinking milk. So the government made class 1 milk pay price higher in an attempt to try to drive more dairy farmers to make a grade A milk. Nowadays, the vast majority of milk produced in the United States is grade A. So one of the things I'm learning here as I'm doing this is that there is so much weird historical stuff that just is like, I don't know, we've done it like that since 1942. One of them being this, what I think to be kind of a strange lag in this price disparity between class one and class 2, 3, and 4 milk, because most of what is made right now is grade A milk anyways. Okay. So now that we understand that, how is the pay price set? Well, it's set by class. Okay. So what region are you in? And then what class does your milk get sold into? And then how are the different prices determined for the different classes? Okay, that's what changed in 2000. The government said, we're going to change these equations that we use to determine the price of different classes of milk to incorporate the value of the different commodities. Okay, so they have formulas where they'll put in commodity pricing. Maybe it's the price of butter, the price of dry whey, the price of cheese, etc. And from there, they take in that commodity price and they factor in what's called a make allowance. What is a make allowance? This is something every dairy farmer should know. If I don't explain it well today, you should Google it. The make allowance is essentially a credit that is afforded to the milk handler to help defray the average processing cost associated with that class's product. Okay, that was like written like a lawyer would write something. Okay, so how do you say that in real words that people understand? But the make allowance allows the milk handler to reduce the pay price to the farmer by that make allowance, basically saying, look, it's costing me 20 cents a pound to make this product, so therefore I'm going to pay the farmer 20 cents a pound less when I buy the milk from them. Now, the question is, who calculates the make allowance? How does the make allowance, I mean, it's a number in the equation. Somebody somewhere or a panel of people somewhere sat down and figured out what this make allowance should be. Well, this is where it gets very interesting. The government sends out a voluntary survey to all milk handlers in the United States. So there is an estimate that roughly 15% of all the milk produced in the United States is represented by milk handlers returning these surveys to the government. Okay. So first of all, it's a voluntary survey. Now, maybe some listeners are more trusting than I am, but whenever the government sends out a voluntary survey and 15% reply, I'm already worried that there's a very small sample set. And this is the part that I love the most, is that there is absolutely zero government oversight or verification that when these surveys are returned, that the costs that they list as their cost of production are actually accurate. So it's a voluntary survey where you as a milk handler can list your cost of production, and there is no one checking to see if what you wrote down is accurate. And then they're like, well, I mean, I guess that's good enough. Let's just average those numbers and make a make allowance. And then that gets applied to every dairy farmer in the United States. It's mind-boggling. I mean, we have people that walk on the moon, and yet we can't figure out a better way. We're relying on a voluntary survey with zero oversight to determine what the milk handler's cost of production is to give them a make allowance. I mean, it sounds like a real government solution, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You can read between the lines there. Just to kind of recap, it's federal milk marketing orders are, they have 11 different regions in the United States. There's different classes of milk. Those different classes of milk have different pay prices based on different equations. Those equations use make allowances in their equation to come up with different class milk pricing. And then within that class, you have premiums on top of that, like your components and your cell count. And then all of those things come together, factor in the PPDs in there, and then those make your mailbox price.
Thank you, Ryan. That's Dr. Ryan Leiterman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
This has been Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiterman, sponsored by Crystal Creek. If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.